marvelous. He can meet all of our need according to his riches and glory. Praise God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing, amazing God that we serve. Praise God. You can be seated. Just wanted to touch bases with you folks upon Brother Grant's physical condition. On the morning service, we asked how many people would be willing to pray this week every day for Pastor Grant and perhaps take another day of fasting. We need to break this thing that's on him, and I'm not saying everything that happens to everybody is spiritual, but I will say that this has been a long, 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 long siege for him. He's endured going through doing what he can do, but he's at now very, very, very sore and cannot hardly walk at all. So I'm just asking everybody, who'd be willing to fast an extra day this week for your pastor? And every day lift him up in prayer. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Grant asked me to do part two of the message I preached this morning, so I'm going to do that. Just a little update on this last Friday evening we had, if you weren't here, we had revival prayer after 3 days of prayer and fasting. And I need to tell you, it was an amazing outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. You know, what's going on here is contagious. Praise God. One after another of you have become more involved in the work of the Lord than you have for some time. And I'm excited about that. I really am excited about that. Praise God. We have an awesome hyphen group that's meeting right now. If you're a visitor of ours, they're in the other part of the building. They've been averaging 60 to 70 young people between the ages of 18 and 35. And they're having church. I mean, they are really having church, and that's exciting. This morning, we talked about repentance as it pertains to the new birth. So we're going to just do a little bit of a review, and then we're going to go into what I would consider to be a little more of in-depth repentance. You know, after you are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, well, by the way, Brother and Sister Derber, I don't know if anybody announced it, are here from Beaver Dam. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to have the Derbers with us tonight. Praise God. One of my favorite guys. He's an awesome man of the Lord. He's the pastor up in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Praise God. He's homegrown, part of our very own Calvary Gospel Church. But it appears that in our walk with God, the more time we have, so to speak, in the Lord, the more susceptible we can become to forget about the beginning of our relationship with him. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to turn to Acts, the 11th chapter and the 18th verse, and the title of the message is Repentance Unto Life. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Praise God. When you repent, you are opening up God's door to eternal life. How many of you have repented of your sins here? Praise God. How many of you have been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ? But see, it all started with repentance. It started with that breaking of yourself open to the point where God could penetrate your armor. Praise God. And we understand that repentance is the first part of a three-part salvation process, beginning with repentance, which is the death of your nature. And when we do that, then God then has the ability to get to us and work with us and tear down the barriers that are between ourselves and him. And throughout the entire Bible, we see the word repentance or repent. And so it's not just for New Testament salvation, but from the very beginning in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, we see God urging his people to repent, or urging countries to repent and turn to him. It's through repentance that God's then able to extend his mercy upon whoever needs his mercy. Praise God. Because repentance removes the barrier that your sin has erected, that wall that can get around us without even our knowing sometimes. And it takes a move of God, which I believe is His grace, to pull us to a point where we can receive it. You know, these strongholds, if you will, are very invisible to yourself. When you have a stronghold, you probably would not know it unless somebody told you or the word of the Lord began to speak to you. And that's a scary thing when you think about it, because the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked above all things. So unless you have your heart into this 100%, and unless you have a pastor like we have who is discerning things in the spirit world and preaching things that we need to hear, you can easily be deceived. So we understand that in the broad sense, repentance opens up the door for water baptism in the precious name of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never repented or been baptized in Jesus' name, praise God. I want to tell you, it's one of the most awesome experiences that you can ever, ever imagine. I don't know about you, but when I came into this, I was Humpty Dumpty. There was not enough pieces of me to make a good scrambled egg. In fact, God had to unscramble me to get me to the plate. But you know what? One touch from the Master's hand, and you can put your whole life back together again. It opens up the door so God can deliver you. It's the very first step. You have an addiction, you have to repent. You have a problem in the world, you have to repent. You have to understand why you're having a problem. The problem is sin. It's, if you trace your problem back, you'll find it's either present sin or sins that have come from the past that you're still paying for. This is very disturbing to some people because they're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and how come things aren't just perfect? Well, because for 38 years, I sowed imperfect seed. For 38 years, I messed my life up. So I have to, and you will have to walk through a field of seed that you have planted some time ago. But that's okay, because at the end of that bad seed, if you're doing what the Bible tells you to do, you'll have a good crop to walk through. You'll have the peace, the joy, the long suffering, all the fruits of God's Spirit. If you continue to sow them, you're going to reap them. Praise God. As a man sows, so shall he reap. Praise God. God can take the spirit of heaviness from you, which the world calls depression, and give you the garment of praise. The garment of praise is that you can praise God in spite of what you're feeling. You can worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness, not based upon physical circumstances. It's based upon relationship. The Bible said, Paul made the statement, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. Some of you are going through physical trials and circumstances, and praise God, and you're still here today believing God for the very, very best. But I want you to know that sin can blind your eyes. You can, the Bible says, if the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You can stay in darkness a long, long time without knowing you're even there. Praise God. I remember a gentleman that George O'Neill brought to church many, 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 many years ago. And he pretty much decided that he was never going to be baptized. No, he was baptized, but he felt that he did not need to receive the Holy Ghost. And just several days before he passed away, I got a call from George and said that, hey, would you come out to lunch with me and this gentleman? And I said, sure. I said, what's up? He said, well, he's dying. He's got liver cancer, I believe it was. And that's some heavy stuff. You know, when you talk about people that are dying. Now, there's only one thing between this gentleman's eternal salvation and eternal damnation, was just making a decision to repent. Well, we went out to lunch and we began to talk to him, and basically the conversation was, excuse me, what do you have to lose? Well, I don't believe you need to do this. Well, why don't you just go for it anyway? And if it doesn't come to pass, praise God. But we believe that God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. Unless God comes and gives you a miracle, you're not going to be, you won't be here. And sure enough, we took him here and prayed with him, and God miraculously filled him with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Just days before he died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Over the last 32 or 31 years, I don't, you know, when you get to the age where you don't really remember how long you've been here, it's kind of like a tree, you know. I planted it, but I don't remember when I planted it. But I've been here for 31, I guess, years, and I have witnessed some of the most heartbreaking stories, if you will, of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. As a pastor, there's, and Brother Russell and Brother Derby, you know what I'm talking about. You become so attached to people that when they walk away or they backslide, oh my goodness, it literally breaks your heart. This, you know, there's a high casualty rate in this business. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I would say 75% of the people that walk in the front door and receive what you, most of you have today, they don't last. You know, you look at the parable of the sower of the seed, and there's four types of soil. Out of the four types, there's only one soil that produces fruit. So for you to walk around thinking that everything is good with you and God, you want to make sure that you want to make double sure that you comb through your heart with a fine-tooth comb, and you make sure that you have repented, that you have looked into the Word of God, and that you've compared your walk with God based upon the Word of God, and that you're not being deceived, and that you are taking instruction. Find yourself a mentor. Find someone who you can trust. Get yourself a growth partner. Find someone that you can pray with and for, and be accountable to somebody. Don't be a lone ranger. People who isolate themselves very seldom make it in the kingdom of God, because we need one another. We need one another. Without each other, we are in serious trouble. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So with all these folks that have went the way of the world, I can trace back almost to every one of them when they began to stop repenting. They stopped seeking God for forgiveness. And usually that happens about simultaneously when they stop praying. If they stop praying, they stop repenting, because they're headed in the wrong direction. So the devil's convinced them that they don't need this or they don't need that. And because they're not praying and they're not seeking God, see, the Holy Ghost is all the time, He's trying to get into your heart. He's trying to give you information. The Bible says that my sheep shall hear my voice, and another they will not hear. But there comes a time when you cannot hear the master even knocking. Praise God. You know, Satan uses the world system, to blind the eyes of the righteous. Because you have been, for the most part, baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit, you must understand that you have a large target on you, and that target is designed, and there's a design in hell, if you will, to take you down. You know, we sometimes forget the fact that there is a devil sometimes. When you're so spiritual and you're worshiping the Lord and things are really cooking, and, you know, you got to remember that he's just circling the camp. He's like a lion, the Bible says. The lion doesn't attack the strong. He doesn't attack those that can run. He attacks the weak. He attacks those who have no defense. The Bible tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Praise God. We can resist the devil continually if we have the right attitude and the right heart. It's so important that you understand that, you know, every day you come to God and you repent. Every day you ask God to create in me a clean heart. Help me to see anything that might be in the way. And praise God, don't feed the flesh. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 5. Paul's talking here to the church in Colossae. Mortify therefore your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, I was speaking in tongues real quick there, so. Covetous, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them, but now ye also put off these, all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. If you've put off the old man with his deeds, then these things will not be an issue, because you will have repented when you have the thought comes to your mind to say or do something that's the old man used to do. You stop it. You stop it before it becomes an issue. Praise God. Now listen, we are in human flesh. So it really doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It just means that you are trying your dead level best to line up your flesh with the Word of God. It will never, ever submit to the Word of God. But the Holy Ghost inside of you will give you the strength to overcome the world, the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you continue to repent. So sad to see wonderful people who had a tremendous walk with God, and they were on fire for the Lord, and they stopped repenting, and then they stopped praying, and they stopped reading their Bible. Then they started missing church. And before you know it, they stopped believing the doctrine. They stopped thinking that you had, what does it have to do with thinking anyway? But they stopped believing what the Word of God says. Now, you say, well, what's the matter with these people? Well, they have fallen prey to one of the worst enemy on the planet. Praise God. Mortify, therefore, your members on the earth. We went through that. And for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walk some time. We walked the walk at one time. We did those things, so it's easy to fall back into them, praise God. There's a sign in most zoos that says, please do not feed the animals. You ever seen that sign? And there needs to be a sign posted in your heart. Please do not feed your flesh. Your flesh is an animal that will churn and devour you. If you give it things that it desires when it desires, before you know it, that flesh will be totally out of control. You will have no control. It will control you. Praise God. And we need to remember that. Praise God. Every day, you're going to have to make a choice. Every single day, you're going to have to make a choice how you're going to spend your time. Praise God. You can spend your time thinking of negative things or how bad things are or whatever, or you can spend time thinking about the goodness of God. You can think about holiness. You can think about righteousness. You can think about the things that you can do personally for the work of the Lord. Praise God. You can fill your time with good things, or you can fill your time with things that are not necessarily sinful, but they're just a waste of time. Just a simple waste of time. And time is something that we all have the same amount of. We just don't know when time's going to cease for us. Praise God. You might be young and think, oh my, I've got a lot of time left. You may not have tomorrow left. You don't have any idea how much time you have. But if you don't utilize that time, if you don't do something about your time, you will certainly twiddle your thumbs through that time period. And you'll wake up 5 years from now and you'll have grown no closer to God than you are today. And there's a reason for that, because you have not done anything with your time. You've not disciplined yourself. Right. Praise God. All right, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. And that's hard for some people to realize. As long as the things that you desire do not supersede the things of God, you can have everything that is not sinful. He doesn't take you down because you like to fish or hunt. But if the things that you love to do take time away from the things you have to do for the Lord, then there's a problem. So it's balance. It's being balanced. God is not asking us to be zombies. He's asking us to be live, willing, loving Christian people that are willing to go out and do the work of the Lord. So what do you do if you find yourself in trouble? You're not actually in sin, but you don't have the fire anymore. You don't have that spark that you once had. You ever had that happen to you? I'm the only honest man here. No, just kidding. We all are going to have periods of time in our walk with God where we're going to be really, really excited about things. And sometimes we're not so excited. And sometimes we're just backslidden. I mean, that's the truth. You know it and I know it. But the thing about it is that we have got to get to the point as Christians to search out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to get to the point where we become mechanical in our prayer. We need to be able to fast when the pastor asks us to fast. We need to have a system in which we are searching out the word of the Lord. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. If you find yourself in trouble, here's the cure, Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would thou wert, these words, I love them. I would thou wert hot or cold. Revelation 3:15, 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. That, interpreting it, you will be vomit in God's mouth. You will be vomit as he spews you out of his mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Listen, sin is blinding. Sin is blinding. And the scary thing about it is you can be lost and not know that you're lost because of your participation in the body of Christ. And you're not comparing things the way you should be. You should be comparing them based upon the word of the Lord. Revelation 3:18. Think of David. How could David go through what he went through when he had this adulterous affair? Then he killed the woman's wife, our husband, and he lied. In all that time, he did not have the revelation. He didn't know he was doing anything wrong. He was a murderer, he was an adulterer, and he was a liar. And when Naaman the prophet came to him and he told him this story, David got so upset, he jumped up and said, "Who is that man? Let me know who he is. I'll kill him right now." Naaman pointed at him and said, "Thou art that man." Whew. That took some wind out of his sails. And from that, we know that David wrote one of the most famous Psalms of repentance in the entire Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment. White raiment is the robe that we're supposed to receive when we are entered into the presence of God, that thou may be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Bible says that we can have eyes and not really see. I mean, we can have eyes, but we're not seeing the way God wants us to see things. We're not perceiving things the way God wants us to perceive things. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And here's the key to your success in the kingdom of God. Be zealous, therefore. Be on fire for God and repent. The same thing that got you into the kingdom of God in the beginning is the same thing that will keep you through the trials and the tribulations and all the things that are coming your way. You've got to repent. That's what will bring the blessings of God upon your life. You cannot progress any further than your last act of disobedience to the word of the Lord. You're just kidding yourself if you think you can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him. Now, here's the problem. If you don't have any ears to hear nor eyes to see, how are you going to answer the door? Knock, knock. Did you hear anything? Was that someone at the front door? I don't think so. What was that? Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus. Jesus who? I don't know. Jesus. Who? What are you talking about? This is how this all works. Slowly but surely, you will lose your ability to hear his voice. My sheep shall hear my voice. My sheep shall... If you are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be able to not only hear his voice, to discern his voice in our spirit. But if you have not repented, if the light that's in you becomes darkness, ooh, how great is that darkness? Because it takes your eyes out and it takes your ears out. And then you are in big spiritual trouble. Praise God. When you first repented of your sins, remember that? Oh, do you remember those days when you first repented? You can have that again. Praise God, because he just gave us the formula there. Praise God. The answer is simple. Just repent and go back to your first love. And you say, well, I don't even know what the first love was. Pray until God gives it to you. Pray until you can't contain yourself, that you can't contain. You want to tell everybody about Jesus. Remember when you were first born again, you talked to everybody about Jesus. Jesus was the center of your life. God was from early in the morning till late at night. You couldn't get enough of Jesus. You couldn't get enough of church. You couldn't get enough of reading the Bible. You were sitting around talking about the Bible. Praise God. What happened? Your ears starting to get a little dull and your eyes stopped seeing. And before you knew it, you just didn't have, you know, at one time, God's Word was the only book that you had. You didn't have a library full of fiction books. You had just the good book. And that's all you wanted to read was the good book. Because in that manual of life is everything you're ever going to need from the day that you are repentant, be baptized, until the day you pass on into eternity. The manual of life. When you first were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you had joy unspeakable and full of glory. You remember those days? Hallelujah. You can have them back. Praise God. You don't have to wait. Praise God. The blessings of the Lord. I remember feeling almost like a kid. You know, every day there was something new, a new blessing. Maybe it was in the scripture. Maybe it was in being able to witness to somebody. But maybe it was just the joy of the Lord became my strength. It didn't make any difference what circumstances were. I ran a business, so there were times when I had no earthly idea how we were going to make payroll. And Peggy, being a lady and very intelligent, she says, honey, the payroll's coming up 2 days. We need $25,000. What are you going to do? I said, nothing. She says, what do you mean nothing? I said, that's not my problem. He gave me the business. It's his business. It's his payroll. I do what I'm going to do, and he do what he's going to do. And every week, honey, what are we going to do for payroll? And I said, same thing we did last week. We're going to pray and believe God. If the money doesn't come in, you know, those of you that are in business, you know what I'm talking about. You wonder, how's this going to happen? They say, oh, wait a minute. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the broke say I am rich. Hallelujah. Oh, that wasn't scripture, by the way. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God has not changed his address. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The thing that's changed is our seeking him, loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to our first love. And quite frankly, that's the only place that you're going to find the peace and the joy and the love and all the things that you so much want. There is nothing in the world nor the things of the world that will bring you any joy. Praise God. There are more opportunities right now here at Calvary Gospel Church to be involved in ministry than there ever has been, literally. If you have any hunger in you at all to help in the work of the Lord, we have a job for you. I mean, we have lots of jobs openings here. Now, the work may not be exactly what you thought you were called to be as an international evangelist, but you gotta start someplace. Hey, the toilet bowl brush still fits in my hand. And you go up and down and you scrub it around. Whatever has to be done, I'm willing to do it because I'm so excited about living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, any one of us, no matter where you are spiritually, you can jumpstart your walk with God, just like the prodigal son did. You know what happened with him? He came to himself and he repented. And it came to him that the servants in my father's house are eating and living better than I am. Why am I living like this? Why am I becoming such a reprobate? You think God said, oh, I can't wait till the prodigal comes back because I'm going to whoop on him. I'm going to make him feel bad. No, the father came running out to meet him. When you come back to God, he comes running back to you. He'll meet you more than halfway. He's excited because a soul that was lost is now found. He's excited about the fact that you are renewing your relationship with him. Praise God. Does anybody love Jesus? Hallelujah. Don't you love it when you're cooking for God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. We can sit down on the throne with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we are already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't have to wait for this. We can get up there high enough spiritually that we are sitting in heavenly places now with Christ Jesus. Just because you don't want to get up in the morning and get there doesn't mean it's not available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm having fun. I hope some of you are. Praise God. You know, Satan does everything he can to you to get you not to die daily. He wants to mess with your mind. He wants to get into your mind. Galatians 2:17. He wants you to build up those things that he's already destroyed through repentance and the blood of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. If therefore Christ, the minister of sin, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. That's pretty plain, isn't it? When you came into the kingdom, when you repented, you gave up possession of everything you had. And then you started rebuilding some things that should have never been rebuilt. And the next thing you know, you've got more things possibly than you need, and more bills than you possibly could pay for, and you've kind of put yourself back in captivity again. Praise God. But listen, it's never too late to turn back to God. You know, one thing that Satan always tries to do, he tries to make you feel like you're not delivered. He likes to bring up your past. He likes to tell you that nothing's changed. You're the same old you. I still own you, so don't even think about it. Now, it doesn't come quite that strong. But the reality is that you get a little subtle thought here and a little subtle thought there. And in those subtle thoughts that come to your mind, these are nothing more or less than fiery darts of the wicked one. And what he's trying to do is take your personality away. He wants to make you just like him. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:3. This is one of the solutions. It's all in your mind. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a collection of thoughts and ideas that you've put a little fortress around. That's your present reality. That's the way you've been living your life for a long, long, long time. You're receiving information. You put it in the stronghold. It can't get out. Not the way you're presently thinking. So you obviously have to change the way you think to take the stronghold down. And you're thinking then, very simply speaking, all you really need to do is put more information in your heart that will contradict that which the devil in life has put in there. And everything that comes into your mind is not your thought. He's out there shooting fiery darts into your head, attempting to build or rebuild the stronghold that he had torn down when you were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we need to put every thought, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind get pulled back into stinking thinking, Brother Hawk. I think that's the way he calls it. But you have to be aware of where these thoughts are coming from. Where are they coming from? Some people never question the thought. They just assume everything's coming from them. That's not true. That's not true. If you filter that thought through the word of the Lord, your self-esteem would not be as low as it is, because you'd say, wait a minute, I'm not a loser. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm sitting now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, dominion, and might. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a high priest. God is my Father. He will protect me. You start thinking, and you're receiving rhema from the word of God that you put into your heart. Praise God. And you can only do that if you put every thought in obedience of Christ. You know, the battle for your soul is going to be won or lost. Now, Satan's in this for the long run. You can have periods of victory. You can have 2 years of good times and with the Lord. But if you don't have a plan in place to keep your level of spirituality at a high level, you have to have something in place. You have to have enough discipline to pray every day, regardless of circumstances. You need to have a system in place that if you're on vacation, you're still going to pray. If you're going through a trial or a circumstance, you see, God hasn't changed. Your circumstances have changed. Maybe your opinion of God has dissipated some, but listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so why are we blaming God? Most of our problems is due to sin. Present sin or past sin? Think about it. Because some of the things we did in our past are still haunting us. We need to let go of those things. The things sometimes we're doing right now, it may not seem like it's something that is a sinful act, but it could be just a big waste of time. And if you're not praying and fasting and seeking God and actively involved in the ministry, what are you doing here? You'll need to get busy. All right. One key word today for both messages: repent. Repent when you come into the kingdom. Repent every day. Repent daily. Paul said, I die daily. He was aware of the fact that there was nothing in his flesh that could be counted worthy. Everything in your flesh, I don't care how handsome you are, how beautiful you are, your flesh stinketh. Your flesh will turn on you. Your flesh is a monster. You give it enough food, junk food, if you will, it will destroy you and probably all the people around you that you love. Praise God. You have to understand, we need Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. This world has a draw and a pull on it that will want you to conform to it. Especially you ladies have, you know, it's fashionable to do this or wear that. Listen, don't be conformed to the world, the standards of the world. But you need to be transformed. And there's only one way that I know how to transform your mind. You have to renew your mind in the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord will tell you if you are right or whether you're wrong, whether you're thinking right or you're not thinking right. But you need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've had people say, well, what is the will of God? The word of God is the will of God. So all you need to do is rightly divide it, and you will be able to discern whether that's for you or it's not for you. And if you can't figure it out, go to your pastor, one of the wisest men on this planet. He will be able to help you discern. I get very nervous when people said, God said, and then they tell me something that God told them, and I'm thinking, wow, what God are they listening to? My God would never tell them to do that. You know, why would you want to? I had a couple one time that come up to me, and we were doing some financial counseling with them, and looked at their budget, and it was a nightmare. It looked like the monster that ate Cincinnati. It was terrible. I've never seen anything quite like it. They spent like $80 a week on junk food, and they didn't have enough hardly to pay their rent. And, you know, we're going through this budget with it, and I looked at my wife, and she looked at me. And so we said, well, here's how to start. This is before Financial Peace University. This is what you can do to start getting a budget under control, and God will honor you. See, if you're in financial trouble, and you're expecting God to get you out of financial trouble, obviously the first thing you need to do is stop spending more than you're making. So you have to put a moratorium on spending until such a time as God's blessing catches up with your spending. Praise God. But nevertheless, they needed a vehicle. And I said, well, I think God will provide the vehicle if you follow what we're asking you to do. It may not be the best vehicle. It may be something that you don't want to drive. But if you drive it for a year, save some money, God is going to make this happen for you. Well, about a week later, I got a call and said, praise the Lord, Brother Thomas. You're not going to believe what happened. I said, tell me. I'm ready for a blessing. He says, we just got a car. I said, really? Yeah, he said, this guy called us right out of the blue. When he said that, my heart dropped, because I know those people that call you right out of the blue know that you were just rejected by all the other car dealers. So your name pops up on the go get them list. I said, well, tell me about it. Well, they bought a vehicle that was about 6 years old, and their payment was $350 a month, and they were upside down before they made their first payment. They said, what do you think? I said, no comment. I don't think I want to talk about this. See, if we understand God's financial plan, there's going to be no problem with our finances. But you have to have some patience. You have to understand that, you know, it took me 38 years to become as screwed up as I was when I came into this church. I couldn't hardly expect it all to be unwound in a couple days or months or even years. But I understood that if I applied these basic principles that our pastor talked about, almost on every service, that my life started to unwind and things did start to come into control. The Bible says, as a man soweth, so shall he reap. Praise God. If you keep reaping the bad seed, that's exactly what you're going to get. But if you start sowing the good seed, there'll come a time when you're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Praise God. So some of you, don't you think it's time that you take control of your thoughts? Don't you think it's time that you start thinking differently? If you start thinking differently, you'll start acting differently. And if you start acting differently, you're going to get different results than you're presently getting now. Praise God. God's word is never going to come back void. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said, if you will tithe, he will pour out a blessing from heaven. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. People have a twisted thinking about tithing. I don't care whether you tithe or not. I'm trying to give you a blessing from the Lord. And if you want to really be blessed, then you give offerings on top of your tithe. Even if it's a dime, God's going to bless you. Why would you not want to be blessed? anyway, praise God. The word says right now, we are sitting in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. The word says the weapons of our warfare are not natural weapons. We don't fight this thing on our own, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's those things that have made you think wrong. Praise God. Praise God. If you refuse to stay lukewarm, there's nothing the devil can do to stop you. Listen, I don't like lukewarm. I've been there. I like red hot. I want to keep my fire burning. I want to be rapture ready. And there's nothing that makes you sleep better at night when you have cast all your cares upon Him. I put my health over there. I put my finances over there. I put my family over there. I put all these things under the control of the one that can do something about them. But if you go to bed and you're thinking half the night about what's going to happen, how am I going to get out of this, and how am I going to meet this payment, and hey, you become double-minded. The Bible says, don't let a double-minded man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Why not get in the groove with Jesus Christ? Listen, why don't you tell everybody, hey, I'm the apple of His eye. I am a joint ear right now with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want someday to have Him say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. You have to do something faithfully to have Him say that to us. Praise God. So listen, the word says that I'm not the tail, but I'm the head. And the head that I'm attached to is the head of the universe. He is the Almighty God who came down and became a human sacrifice that I might live in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that's exactly where I want to live. Praise God. He is my Father. I am His Son. The word tells me that He shall take care of all of my need according to His riches and glory. You know, the Bible also tells us that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, listen, you're just walking through. Don't stick around. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. How can you threaten a Christian with eternal life? If you're having an illness problem, you're walking through it. You are controlled because God is your God. Hallelujah. All things are possible to those who believe. The Bible says we become the voice of His word. Have you ever given yourself, that's in Psalms 103:20, but the voice of His word. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. When we speak in accordance to the word of God, He then honors our word because we are the voice of His word. This is an amazing thing to think that God would put His word in the hands of people. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 18:31. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? You know, he's basically pleading with them. He says, listen, I'm ready to give you a new heart and a new spirit. Why do you want to keep transgressing when I want to bless you? He said, why do you want to die? And then he goes on to say, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourself, another scripture of repentance, and live. Is that simple? Just turn yourself. Just purpose in your heart that you're going to believe God for everything that's in that word. Be greedy about it. You don't want more than what God wants to give you. But hey, listen, if He said He blessed me, I want the blessing. You need to go boldly to the throne room and declare. See, as much as you go to the throne room, Satan will be in your ear telling you you're never going to get it. You'll never receive what you're supposed to receive. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be tall enough. You'll never be handsome enough. You'll never be pretty enough. All the crazy things that go through people's minds. You need to go to the throne room and declare who you are. You know, boldly to the throne room. You need to speak it. Speak what? Speak the word. Speak in agreement to the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ezekiel was a wise, wise man. You know, some of the saddest moments of my life, as far as spiritually speaking, is watching people that had the truth and then passed into eternity. But years ago, our brother-in-law backslid, and he was a great guy. I mean, he was just a wonderful guy, and we all loved him. And, you know, we watched this transgression, if you will, and it was just crazy the way it happened. Some of you know who I'm talking about, but, you know, he was just a nice guy. He was the one that actually witnessed to Peggy and myself and encouraged us to come to Calvary Gospel Church. He was the one that sent Pastor Grant to my hospital room when I was dying, and God delivered me, you know. And he was so on fire for God for 5 years, 6 years after I was in here. And, you know, and I started seeing some changes in him, and things got, he got a little cold, and then some issues came up with his family, and he and his wife got a divorce, and he'd still come to church occasionally, but it wasn't the same. He'd stopped praying, I think, and, you know, certainly he stopped repenting, because little by little, every time we saw him, which was not very often, at first when we saw him at a family function or something, he'd hide the fact that he had a beer or a cigarette in his hand. He'd kind of like cup it and pretend like he wasn't actually doing anything. But after a couple of years, he was just joined in with the crowd, you know, and slapping backs and having a good time. He went into the bar, sang karaoke, having a good old time. But, you know, he would tell me occasionally, he said, you know, Richie said, there's times that I'll be sitting in a bar and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will talk to me. And it really bothered me, you know, because the Holy Ghost says, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to meet me? And I'd be sitting there thinking, why am I thinking this now? Because see, God still, as long as you have a breath, my friend, God will be knocking at your door. But it's going to get dimmer and dimmer until one day you can't hear it at all. One day you will not be able to respond unless there's a miracle in your life or something so terrible happens to you that it will shake you up. He told me one time at one of our 10 outreaches out in the grounds, he said, you know, Richie said, I think I'm going to come back one of these days. This is about after 10 years out. And I said, no, you're not. He said, what do you mean, no, I'm not? I said, well, have you ever considered that Satan's just not going to grab you by the hand and say, well, thank you for all these years of degrading the kingdom of God and all the things that you're involved in? You think he's just going to shake your hand and just let you go that easy? The only way you're getting back in here is the same way that you came, and that's right on your knees. And he looked at me, and he kind of teared up a little bit, but he knew I was telling the truth, because except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Right. I mean, that's just the Bible. I said, that's just the Bible. At any rate, you know, several years went by, and we didn't see much of him. We heard that he was engaged to be married, and then all of a sudden he got sick. And at first it was just an infection in his sinus cavities, and nobody thought much of it. And we were at a party, and he said, yeah, he said, I've got this ongoing sinus thing. He said, I don't really know. They can't seem to find the right antibiotic. What he didn't know is he had cancer in there, and if had they discovered it, he might have lived. But God had other plans. That the next call we got is asking us, well, he said, you know, I really have a burden for my fiance and my best friend and his wife. And we're wondering if you and Peggy would come over and teach us a Bible study. Well, we were thrilled about it, because I was more interested in Wendy than I was those folks because of our relationship. But at any rate, started this Bible study, and, you know, I could not reach Wendy. I could not touch him. He waltzed around, he laughed and whatever, but I could not get him to and I didn't make it so obvious that he'd feel a lot of pressure. He just wouldn't go there with me. So, but all of a sudden the condition got worse and worse and worse and worse until fast forwarding it, we were due to do a Bible study, and he'd been taking chemotherapy, and things really went south on him, like boom, right away. And he called Peggy and asked if we'd go up to the hospital room and give the Bible study. He was so concerned about his fiance, he wanted to see her saved before he passed away. So we went up there, and something came over me when I was standing there by his bedside, and he wanted me to start the Bible study. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "There's something here that we need to do." He said, "What's that?" I said, "We need to pray for you, because if the doctors are correct and God doesn't heal you, you're going to be dead very, very soon. And you and I both know that you are not ready to meet the Lord." He looked at me, and we saw a little tear. I said, "I want you to set up. I want to pray for you." You got to remember now, he has no hair. He has green, yellow, orange skin. Just a shell of the former man. This is the guy that witnessed to me. This is the guy that brought our family in. So there we are, sitting in the bed, and he said, "Well, I want you to pray for these folks." I said, "No, I'm praying for you." I said, "I believe if you ask God and you repent, he will renew you in the Holy Ghost." And as soon as he lifted up his hand and we put our hand on his forehead, his hairless forehead, I might add, that was brimming with sweat just from the exertion of getting where he was sitting on the side of the bed. And the Holy Ghost came down in him instantly. He opened the door and let the Holy Ghost in. And it was so powerful in this little room that his fiance and his best friend and his best friend's wife all received the Holy Ghost in a matter of a minute and a half, 2 minutes. See, when we're ready to let him in, he's ready to do the work. When we're ready to open the door, knock, knock, who's there? Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you mean I still have a chance? You mean there's still hope for me? After everything I've done and for all the things that I've went through, yes, there's plenty of room in my kingdom. Praise God. If you would stand with me, and Brother Grant had went up to the hospital several days before Wendy died. And this is what he said to Brother Grant in a very weak voice. He said this, "Pastor Grant, I should have never left the church. Pastor Grant, I should have never left the church." I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but God's trying to intercept you. He's trying to get you from making decisions that will cause eternal consequences in your life. Don't leave the church. Repent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalms 51:1. We're going to read a few of these scriptures in the book of Psalms that I'd like to have you just... Why don't we all say this out loud? "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from all my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me, oh, praise God, unto the joy of thy salvation, and unfold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it, but thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Lift up your hands, would you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is desiring a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pour out your spirit, Almighty God. I say, pour out your spirit, Almighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God's trying to talk to somebody here tonight. I don't know who you are. My job was just to bring the message. But if you will respond to what you're feeling inside of you right now, if you'll just move forward, or if you don't feel comfortable moving forward, just lift up your hands and we'll pray with you right where you're at. But do not, he's knocking. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to refuse to talk to him? Are you going to receive what he wants to give you tonight? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to let him in. I want everything that he has for me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. This altar area is open. For those of you that perhaps have never been born again, we have this wonderful experience waiting for you.